Hello, this is James Brown, the Godfather of Soul. I feel good. You check it out, my man, Mike Siegel. Hit it, buddy. Hit it, buddy. Hit it, buddy.
Back we are, folks. Good to be with you for another big hour. And if you were here in the last hour, you should have been. We were joined and will continue to be joined by Michelle McCumber. She is a former employee of the Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. Jimmy Swaggart back in 1988 and then in 1991 had two or three scandals break about his personal behavior with regard to prostitutes, with regard to doing things that were totally in violation of everything he was supposed to stand for as a preacher and a man of God, allegedly. And many would question that. But be that as it may, he had a downfall. The Assemblies of God Church kicked him out. And during the last several years, Michelle McCumber worked at that ministry for 3 years, and Jimmy Swaggart is still at it, exploiting people, creating an empire, using religion to create that wealth and that empire. Now, I'm not going to question what's in his mind. I have no idea what he believes. He may believe devoutly in what he says, but he still manipulates people and uses people in order to be self-aggrandized with great money and wealth and power and all of that. And we're really appreciative that Michelle McCumber is wanting to talk about this. Michelle, we talked about a good deal of the way they exploit for their own material well-being the ministry and the donations from people. That's the key. It's not as if they're making money in the secular world. They're asking people for donations. Fundamentally, all of the money they get comes from people either donating money or buying their products, correct?
Yes. Well, actually, no, because they do have quite a bit of real estate. In fact, the newspaper for Baton Rouge, their building, they actually rent their huge office space from Jimmy Swaggart. He also has an apartment building that used to be one of the former dorms that he rents out. He's got numerous businesses that he rents to. So some of it comes from real estate.
All of the money to buy the real estate came from well-meaning people,
right,
who donated money to his ministry.
That's exactly right.
And this is my problem with it. He took religion, he took God, and converted all of that into a personal, hedonistic, self-serving, self-aggrandizing power play and monetary gain for himself personally and not for the benefit of the message that he delivers.
Yeah, he built his own kingdom. And, you know, he's literally got his own kingdom here in Baton Rouge. He's a very, very, very wealthy man.
Exactly. Do you have any concern about your own situation with regard to having gone on? I know you wrote much of this, what we're talking about, already publicly on a blog. Did you get any repercussions from Swaggart or his wife, Frances?
Yes, I did, actually. They threatened to sue me, and I need to actually get that document on my website, scan it, and put it on my website. But they did send me, you know, a threatening letter from their lawyer, and telling me to take the website down, or any mention of them off my website. And of course, I knew that everything that I had stated was the truth and that it would stand up in any court of law, so I did not back down from that.
And what happened subsequently?
Well, it didn't go anywhere because they have no basis to sue me. I mean, they can't sue me for slander because I'm telling the truth.
Of course. But, I mean, did the lawyer contact you again? Did the Swaggarts contact you again? Anything like that?
No, but it's interesting. I continue to receive really threatening emails from their supporters and so forth, and basically calling me everything, you know, but the Antichrist. And I think some even probably did call me the Antichrist, but they very, very threatening.
Well, he claims that the Antichrist is Jewish. I saw him say it on television. So, and being Jewish myself, I didn't take kindly to that, to say the least. But I found the same thing, that, and you're very correct and courageous, because I've done this over the years in many campaigns that I've run, taking on large institutions, powerful people. And as long as you're telling the truth, and you're right, I happen to be an attorney, and the whole defense against the defamation lawsuit is truth. And truth, as they say, is an absolute defense against defamation. So they can't possibly...
Absolutely. And, you know, if I have stated anything, you know, it would be in error. It might be something that I've heard from someone else. But, you know, to my knowledge, I would never state publicly something that I did not believe to be so. Because, I mean, that would just be asking for a lawsuit.
Let's go to some of the treatment of employees that you articulate for us, and I've got your well-put-together treatise, really, of all of these issues. First of all, just briefly go through this: no health benefits, no unemployment benefits. So they don't really give much of anything. I'm assuming they also give no retirement benefits, correct?
I do believe that they do have a 401k, but they don't contribute money towards it. You know, they set it up for you, but they don't contribute any. No, they don't do anything that's going to cost them any money. Employees really have very little. They have, you know, what they make, and that's about it. And because they're a nonprofit, they don't have to pay into unemployment insurance. So now some states, I think there's like two states maybe that's not the case, but that, you know, in Louisiana, they do not have to by law pay into unemployment insurance, so they don't. So really, if, you know, these people are fired, they have nothing to fall back on.
The problem is that, as I think we discussed, the people are hired to work for the church, which is a nonprofit, 501c3, but
right.
The people do work for the Jimmy Swaggart Ministries, which is a for-profit organization, correct?
That's my understanding, yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, when you worked there, did you do work for the for-profit Jimmy Swaggart Ministries?
Absolutely.
But you were paid as a church employee, right?
That's correct, yes.
So therefore, they avoided any responsibility, but they... the IRS would say that they would want to pierce the corporate veil, because they're saying you work for the church when in fact you work for the profit-making organization. And that's fraud.
Yes.
That's a fraudulent use of your services.
Well, and you know, one of the problems that I had, one of the big problems that I had is that in terms of, you know, what I describe on my website about the printing, here they were, that print shop was, you know, paid for by, it's non-profit, the equipment was paid for through the church, and it was run by a non-profit employee, but they were actually running it as a business and taking outside jobs, and they were calling that side of the business Starcom. Well, not only were they taking on outside jobs while using non-profit employees and non-profit equipment, but they were printing things that were in, you know, diametrically opposed to what he was preaching. They were printing, you know, covers for hip-hop bands and posters for area lesbian bar and other bars and things that were, you know, in direct opposition to what he was preaching. And some of these covers and so forth that were being printed there, and I do have pictures of some of that on my website, they were highly offensive. There was one that portrayed a human sacrifice.
Yeah, that's incredible that he would condemn homosexuality and then use his print company to print lesbian materials.
Exactly.
I'm not here to condemn any group. I'm here to condemn him for being such
hypocrisy.
An ultimate hypocrite.
Absolutely.
Saying one thing and doing another because he can make some money with it. We'll come right back with Michelle McCumber. This is more and more fascinating as we go along. Jimmy Swaggart pretends to be virtuous.
Yes.
Welcome back, folks. Good to be here. Mike Siegel with you as we move right along, as they say. And we are joined by Michelle McCumber. She is here as a former employee of the Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. Jimmy Swaggart, a preacher, evangelical preacher. One thing I will commend him about is his superb communication skills. As having been a professor of communication, I certainly look at his ability to hold an audience to be superb and stellar. Problem is, he holds them in ways and for means that I find to be less than moral, less than appropriate, deceptive, underhanded, manipulative, using people, belittling people. And that's an unfortunate part of what would have been a great talent. And I ask you about that. Michelle McCumber is here. She worked for them. Michelle, I'm just reflecting about that. It would have been nice, given the God-given talent that he had to communicate, that he had done it for the right reasons in the right way, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Jimmy Swaggart is probably one of the best orators alive. He's mesmerizing. And, you know, you can tell, especially when you watch him in front of an audience, he holds people, he holds their rapt attention. And even, you know, people that are not perhaps, you know, prone to his brand of Christianity are still, you know, in awe of his ability and how he holds sway over an audience. It's incredible.
Yeah, and I, as I mentioned, I was a professor of communication and evaluated a whole lot of speeches for students. And I watch him, in one sense, to get the real point that he's making to do what we're doing here tonight and be prepared. And the other reason is that I watch the techniques that he uses. Let's talk about some of those. Let's talk about the tiers, especially in, and by the way, this is still available for anybody listening who wants to go online and just Google or use any search engine, Bing or Yahoo or whatever. Just go out, just put in there Jimmy Swaggart crisis or something in 1988. And there's actually still on there the video of his apology at his church. And his wife was sitting right there, and he apologized to her and apologized to the people. But it was very have you seen that particular apology, Michelle?
Yes, I have. And, you know, it was very convincing. But it's interesting. I remember talking to John Camp, and his
now, he's a journalist who did an expose of Swaggart, correct?
Yeah, he's actually the one that had broke the story originally. And he also did a program on when he used to be on CNN Impact. There's a program where he did an investigation back in the early 90s as well. And that actually is on YouTube. If you Google John Camp investigation, you should be able to bring that up on Google, because that's something to watch as well. But there was a cameraman that used to work for, I think, WBRZ in Baton Rouge, and he had said, and John Camp mentions this in his book, that this cameraman was amazed because he was interviewing Jimmy Swaggart, or he was filming him or whatever, and he was crying and just, you know, this flood of tears. And then I guess they ran out of film or something, and he said, well, hold on. And he was, you know, this cameraman was, you know, upset, like, oh, you know, I've missed this moment. Well, Jimmy shut those tears off in a second, and then when they had the film changed over, he said, okay, and immediately, right on cue, the tears came. And, you know, I've had other people describe that to me, like people that have worked in the television department at Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. He's an actor.
Yeah, but he has his son. He has his son doing that too, and they both use the handkerchief where they pull it out and wipe their brow, that sort of thing, as if they're working hard.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You know, my 4-year degree is in psychology, so you know, these are things that I noticed immediately when I got there, and I felt that I was being manipulated by these things. It seemed evident, and I didn't like it. I didn't like it from the start because I knew that it was theatrics.
Let's turn to Francis Swaggart for a moment. I would describe her as a tyrannical dictator. there was a woman who had a...
being kind.
I'm being kind. Very good. And by the way, she's a public figure, and opinion is protected speech when it comes to public figures. So anything said about her in terms of characterizing her as less than positive is protected speech, as they say. And so that we can certainly describe honestly what we see of her. But she, apparently, a young lady, I won't use her name unless you want to, was caught with a book in her car that Francis Swagger did not approve of. And she had told them that she was not Christian when she was hired. Jimmy Swaggart said, well, we'll look the other way at that. And then Frances Swaggart, when she found that book in the car that she didn't like, told this young woman she was going to her house, and, well, she asked the woman to go to her house and bring all of her books back to the ministry so Frances Swaggart could trash the ones of which she did not approve. In other words, this woman had a private library, and Frances Swaggart was gonna trash books that this woman owned that Frances Swaggart didn't like. I've never heard of an employer doing that.
Well, yeah, and unfortunately, stories like that abound. And that particular woman was Treva Henderson, and that story was told to me personally by her. So, and Treva used to be a singer at the ministry, and actually was not there for long, but they continue to use her music and to profit from her. But, you know, stories like that abound of the control there, because literally when you work there, they own you. They literally own you. I think I told the story as well of back in the 80s, Francis making all of the employees weigh in. And, you know, it was one thing if you were, and then, you know, if you were overweight, you had to go on a diet and to keep your job. But that didn't apply to those in the inner circle. Stories like that abound. Complete and utter control. I know for myself, when I was fired, and I was fired because someone had sent me an email which outlined what was taking place in the printing department, and because I saw that email and because I now had that information, I was fired along with four other people that knew about it. The ministry continues to say that when people ask about it, they say, oh, we fired those people responsible. No, they fired everyone that knew about it. The people that are responsible still have jobs there.
And that really is a very telling point. And this is the tyrannical kind of control. I made the point to you off the air, and I don't want to make comparisons improperly, but if you put aside anybody being physically harmed, just put that aside. It seems to me that the Jim Jones People's Temple was very similar to what happens at Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. No physical harm, but everything else is about the same. Is that right?
I would say so, yes.
Okay, we'll come right back then, Michelle, and stay right with us. We'll continue with some of this treatment of employees by the Jimmy Swaggart Ministries in a way that goes beyond anything any of us would imagine or tolerate or want to work for. And this is supposed to be a loving devotion to God. A ministry, is it not? Not that way with Jimmy Swaggart and Francis Swaggart. Stay with us. Welcome back in, folks. Good to be here. Mike Siegel with you, and we have with us Michelle McCumber. She is a former employee of Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. Jimmy Swaggart, the manipulative preacher. Great communication skills, uses them in the wrong way to take control of people, to get into their pockets and get their money. That's what Jimmy Swaggart's about. Always asking people for money. Very interesting that people, I guess, Michelle, one question that comes to mind is why, if you have any thought about this, why do people not see through that? I mean, he'll come on and just say, bring the tithing up, you know, you need to get this CD, you need to get this DVD, we'll do it at half price, send us the money. Why do you think people buy into that stuff? I mean, it seems so transparent to me.
And it does, but I think people want to believe that it's real, that it's right. He's speaking you know, his message isn't all false. You know, he's got a lot of truth in there. It's just a very twisted form of Christianity, really, that makes people feel better sinning. I think people want to believe him. He's likable. And, you know, like, I don't dislike Jimmy Swaggart. He's almost impossible to dislike when you know him and you've met him in person. He's just a very, very likable man. And his communication skills are beyond anything I've ever seen.
Well, you could say that. I've met Bill Clinton, and you could say that about Clinton. Same thing. He's a very likable guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I've ever met anyone that actually, you know, doesn't like Jimmy Swaggart. Even people that have come up against him will say he's a likable guy. Now, Francis is another question. You know, that's a whole other topic. I don't think I've ever met anyone that, you know, had really good things to say about Francis. She's tyrannical, but Jimmy's another story.
So he treated them, in your contact with Jimmy Swaggart, he treated you well? You felt good about your communication with him?
I'm sorry, I think my phone's breaking up a little bit. I didn't hear all that.
I was saying that it sounds as though that your interactions with Jimmy Swaggart, as opposed to his wife Frances, but with Jimmy, were positive interactions, positive communication, that you felt he was... maybe a caring fellow and a nice guy, all that?
Yeah. Actually, you know, my first interactions with him were, and all my interactions with him were always positive. I would say that, you know, my impressions of him were very positive. You know, from a interpersonal standpoint, I do remember being in one meeting where I saw a different side of Jimmy Swaggart, though, and I was a little bit horrified because I was fairly new there, and I was in a meeting, and they were talking about going into it was either a country in Central America or South America. I don't remember particularly what country, but basically, you know, he took his glasses off and, you know, tossed them on the desk and said, "Oh, those people don't have any money." And I was horrified, and I think it probably registered on my face because Francis immediately corrected Jimmy and said, "Oh, well, but it's not about that." But I knew that was for my benefit.
Hmm. In other words, to make it appear that he did care. So, in other words,
yeah.
His whole point would be to go after people who have money. I mean, money is it fair to say that certainly with Francis as well as perhaps with Jimmy Swaggart, that money is the centerpiece of their motivation in using religion?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, here they are saying, you know, we want to win the world, but they can't win the people in their own backyard. They have done nothing for the people in Baton Rouge. There's nothing. He doesn't do any missionary work or any sort of outreach at all. It's all his television program. And his television program is basically on air to raise more money. And yes, I do believe that he targets audiences that he believes will either donate to him or buy his Bibles. And I did hear him say, he said, "Oh, I could sell Bibles all day long," because people buy into that idea. And, you know, and it sounds like a worthy cause. Oh, I'm buying a Bible, and so I'm getting something, and I'm supporting the ministry, and I'm supporting the work of the Lord. So, you know, he goes through unbelievable amount of Bibles, and actually I think his Expositor Study Bible is one of the top-selling study Bibles.
The story that you tell about another employee who had... was a guy who was a student at the Bible College. He did some work under the table, so to speak, for the Swaggarts. And then they thought he talked to a reporter and were outraged, Francis Swaggart and Jimmy Swaggart, so they fired the guy, apparently kicked him out of the church and the Bible College, and he was living at a place they owned, and they gave him 48 hours to leave there. And then threatened him with the deportation back to Canada using the immigration service to get him out of there, I suppose, because they didn't want him talking about what he had learned. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Actually, this person contacted me, and I actually spent quite a long time on the phone with them, and they were still hurting. This happened a number of years ago, but they were still hurting over this incident a great deal, as are many people that have contacted me years and years after. But what the instance was, he did not do anything wrong, according to the Swaggarts. However, he was good friends with someone they believed was in communication with John Camp. So because he was friends with this person, he was fired. And they kicked him out of the Bible college. And now, that's another something else I want to bring out. He has this, it's the former dorm, and he rents these out. Well, a lot of the employees live in the dorms. So when you lose your job at Jimmy Swaggart Ministries, more often than not, you'll come home and you'll have an eviction notice on your door. So not only have you lost your church, you've lost your job, you've been evicted. How are you able to find another apartment when you don't even have a job? So it leaves people in horrendous situations. But in this particular instance, this young man was going to the Bible college and was a Canadian citizen and was down here on a visa to go to school. And so when he was fired, he was given not just 48 hours to get out of the dorms, which is illegal, really. He should have been given at least 30 days because they're on 30-day month-to-month leases. But he was given 48 hours to get out of the country. He was told that because of he was on a student visa, that immigration was requiring that he get out of the country within 48 hours. Now, fortunately, that was a lie because he did contact immigration, and they said, no, you have, I think it was several months to leave the country. But he did have to vacate his premises there at the dorms, the apartments. And, you know, where does he go? He has no money. He has nowhere to live. You know, and these stories, I cannot even tell you how many people have told me similar situations. I know another another woman that had a single mother with a young teenage daughter, and she lost her job at the same time as I did over the same reason, because she also knew about the printing. She lived in their apartment, their building there. She came home from losing her job, and she has an eviction notice on her door. This is that's business as usual for the Swaggarts. They don't care.
Yeah, that's this wonderful, loving Jimmy Swaggart who uses the Bible. I wonder if Jesus would have felt that way. See the problem.
Well, another thing, you know, Tariva told me another instance where a young lady had come to go to one of their camp meetings, and she was driving she had sacrificed to come, and she was driving a car that, you know, was an old car.
Let me ask you to stay right there, if we can, Michelle. We'll pick it up when we come back about this other young lady. This is an amazing series of examples, true stories about the despicable nature of Jimmy Swaggart and his wife, Frances. Stay with us. Welcome back in. Good to have you with us, folks. Glad you're here as we share the evening with you. And we are really appreciative hearing an amazing story from Michelle McCumber. And as I've said to Michelle off the air, I think that at some point in her life, a book about the Jimmy Swaggart Ministries would be a contribution that would have enormous impact, because people need to realize that many of these evangelical preachers on television, Swaggart being at the top of the list, are deceptive, are manipulative, are self-serving, use religion for their own personal demonic purposes, and that need to be held accountable. And the answer would be that nobody's given them any money. Simple as that. But that's why this information needs to be out there, and that's why we're doing this. Michelle, you were talking about a young lady who was driving in a car, I gathered, that was not in such great shape to get to Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. Tell us about that.
Yeah, and this story was told to me again by Teresa Henderson, and that she experienced this firsthand. And anyway, this young lady had come to the camp meeting, and her car was not in good shape, and it broke down while she was there. She had no money to fix it, and she had a young child. Now, I believe it was a baby, but I'm not sure. I know it was a very, very young child. And Teresa, you know, felt, you know, her heart was went out to her, and she went to Francis and asked if it would be possible for her to be able to have a room in the dorm to sleep for the night until she could figure out what she was going to do about her car. And Francis basically told her, well, not basically, she did tell her that, send her to the Salvation Army. This is a business. That's what she said.
Period. Now, and I'm assuming she had perhaps empty rooms, did she not?
Always, yes.
And she, in spite of that, this woman was in need. I go back to the point. What about the people? We'll do this, and I'm hopeful you'll be able to come back maybe next Friday if you'd like to do that, because there's more to cover. But why do the people inside the ministry, who I would assume if you know all this, they knew all this, why do the people working there in high-level positions, or even in modest positions, but especially high-level positions, if they're really believers in the work that they're doing as a ministry, why would they tolerate this and stay with Swaggart and not go someplace else?
Well, see, and I that's what I don't understand, because I near the end, I was looking for a job elsewhere, and actually, you know, it's never pleasant to lose your job, and especially, you know, once you lose your job, people look at you as if you've done something wrong, and in this case, there was nothing. As is usually the case with people that lose their job at the ministry, usually it's over some perceived breach of loyalty. But I think people see the inconsistencies. I know they do. But people continue, and I don't really understand why. And I think a lot of people think, well, there's inconsistencies, but really Jimmy's a good guy. This is all Francis, or this is all the people, you know, the upper people that are running things. This is all, but they think Jimmy doesn't know. And a lot of people hold out that hope. Well, Jimmy doesn't really know. If he knew what was going on, he'd make things right. But that's not the case, because I know, as is the case with the printing, I know that the guy in the print shop actually took this to Jimmy and showed him and said, look, I lost my job because of this stuff being printed, because he was under the impression that Jimmy didn't know about it. Well, Jimmy just brushed him off. So Jimmy knew about it, absolutely. And so I don't know. I can't answer that. But there is so many inconsistencies, even in the lives of the people that work there. You know, the Bible college students, they're going out partying. They're smoking pot. They're drinking. They're, you know, doing all these things that are completely diametrically opposed to what they're professing with their mouths. And I see that in the lives of some of the upper leadership there. There's numerous affairs going on. You know, a case of a young man that's on the worship team there, you know, who has bedded numerous women throughout the ministry, and in fact was only 15 years old and slept with a young woman from the ministry that was 27 years old. And these things are not addressed.
How are you aware of some of those things that you're now describing?
Well, some of those things that I'm now describing, everybody knows. It's common knowledge. And some of the fact of the partying, you know, a lot of the young people that went to the Bible college, you know, spoke to me about these things and were concerned. And you would think that this was just one or two people, but no, it was the majority. And in fact, I know one young man who was went to the Bible college, and he lost his job because he had consumed alcohol. But the person that had given him the alcohol and at whose house he received the alcohol worked for the ministry and still had their job.
So the students at the Bible college, some of them would come to you and acknowledge that some of their colleagues, other students
yes,
of the Bible college, would be smoking pot, going out partying, going out drinking, all of that.
Yes.
Did you know with any level of certainty that Jimmy or Francis Swaggart knew about that?
Yes, they knew about it, and I know that they knew about it because I know somebody personally that had gone to them and gone to Frances and talked to her about it. So, yeah, they knew. And in the instance of the young man that I'm describing, he sat with Gabriel Swaggart, and he said, look, if you're going to fire me, you know, everybody that drinks alcohol, you're going to have to fire just about everybody under 30 that works for the ministry. And Gabriel said, yeah, he knew that. He knew that that was going on. You know, it wasn't about them. It was about him. And basically, you know, he was not fired for consuming alcohol. He was fired for another reason, but that happened to be the convenient reason that they found.
So they
otherwise they would have, you know, they would have fired the other employee who supplied him with the alcohol.
But officially he was fired because of drinking alcohol. Unofficially there may have been other reasons.
Right. Unofficially, actually it was because I better not say, but it was because of his association with people that had been previously fired.
So, in other words, that's an important point, though. So, in other words, they want to control people's lives to the degree that if you work for them, do not hang around with anybody who we fired previously.
Oh, no. Yeah, you would be fired.
So, absolutely. So you'd be fired for, in other words, on your private time. The Constitution and the First Amendment gives us freedom of association, but I guess, of course, the amendments to the Constitution protect us from government, so they're not government, so I guess they could say that, but that's pretty tyrannical. I've not run across that sort of thing. Have you ever run across that anywhere else?
I had never run across that, and literally, I worked for corporate America, and, you know, I had never seen anything like this. They literally have control over their employees, their entire lives. And, you can be fired there for just being seen or having coffee with somebody that was previously fired, that they view as an enemy of the ministry, because they view that as being disloyal to them. So they will fire you. And literally, I have been out places, and people that were formerly my friends will run away from me. And I do mean run away from me. They do not want to be seen anywhere near the vicinity of where I am because they're fearful for their jobs.
What a way to live. Are these people who could not get another job, are they? Are the people who work there at the Swaggart Ministries, generally speaking, are they pretty intelligent, bright people, or are they just people who couldn't find another job someplace else?
The ones in the upper management, you know, I would say that they're probably fairly intelligent, but no, in the general workers, no, they're uneducated, and I wouldn't go so far as to say that they're not intelligent, but some aren't, but some probably are, but they're uneducated. I think that would probably be a better description.
Well, you're obviously a bright person, you're very articulate, and you're also well-educated. So it would seem as though you wouldn't fit there. It doesn't seem like somebody with their own individual thought process could possibly survive there at the Jimmy Swaggart Ministries because they'd be thinkers. And these people do not want thinkers. They want robots to follow them.
That's absolutely. That's a very good description. It's all about groupthink and being part of the hive mentality. And really what it's like is, you know, they're all walking in step, and if you're a little bit out of step, everybody's going to turn and look at you and attack you because you've got to come in line.
And the problem is that they're very seedy. Their own lives are replete with moral corruption, and then they want other people to follow the public view of who they are, but privately they're a very different pair of people, Jimmy and Frances Swaggart. Michelle, I hope we can do this again maybe one night next week to finish up, if that's okay with you. Would that be possible?
Yes, absolutely.
I appreciate it very much. Thank you for your being upfront and courageous to be out there and talk about this, and we'll talk off the air and set up another conversation for next week, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you. Good to talk to you. Michelle McCumber, formerly at the Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. Stay away. Don't donate. Don't give them a nickel. They don't deserve it. Be good to yourself and the world, and the world will be good to you.